And here we go, episode 22.
What up, my bitches?
I believe that my vaginal sores have cleaned up.
Ew. Way to open the show with that.
Well, thank you.
Especially when I'm eating a ketchupy hamburger.
Ooh, nice, dude. Ow. All right, so we had a great outpouring of affection because I was a little whiny bitch last episode.
You love us. You really love us.
And so we have a lot of comments.
Yeah.
/ corrections. I don't know about.
I don't think any more actually corrections.
No. Oh, one of the things that that Rodian pointed out to me the other day was, oftentimes he doesn't comment on anything because he agrees with everything we say. So I would like to say these things, right?
Okay.
I believe that Microsoft Windows is an excellent operating system, and it deserves its place in the market. I'd also like to say that high kicks are very effective, and I would much rather watch a foreign movie with the dub instead of the subtitles. So there we go. Discuss amongst yourselves.
Wow. We're going put on your flame retardant suit, Dan, because you're gonna get burned.
Well, see, you know, I don't actually back any of those things up. So
I know,
but
pardon me while you people. We're actually on our lunch break.
We're on our lunch hour, so I'm not getting back to work until 3.
Sounds good to me.
Whatever.
Okay.
So let's check the other comments here because there's some pretty good stuff.
I like what Rodian said about the ASCII art. That was interesting. I haven't tried it, but it was interesting.
So he talked about converting the Two Guys movie that we did to ASCII art. And it turns out that this is actually a lot more complicated than I had originally anticipated it being. I did find, because I did some research on this, and I tried to get it working. I did find a converter that converts an image to an ASCII art image, right?
Right.
But it actually takes the ASCII art and outputs it to another JPEG file.
Okay.
Right? So what my plan was to essentially save the movie as an image sequence, batch process this,
yes,
and then re-put it together as an ASCII sequence. The piece of software that I downloaded only did one image at a time, though. It had no batch mode.
Wow, I thought there was an easier way to do that with... I think with Premiere, you can import a whole folder of images.
You can, but the converter that converted it from bitmap to the ASCII art only did one frame at a time. Not only that, but really what this is intended for... Right? Well, yeah, see what Rodian...
Did you use...
Yeah, Rodian mentioned...
Lukaka?
that. What those are intended for is those are actually intended not to output image files, ASCII art image files, but to actually output the text. Right? Because if you're using an interface that doesn't support image files...
Gotcha.
Then the only way to get an image is through ASCII art. So what it does is it turns it into a series of ASCII art files.
I gotcha.
Right?
I knew that.
So then you sort of have to have a player to play the ASCII art files, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So it's a little bit more complicated than I had originally hoped. And I'm actually thinking about making something. I think that might be a little cool side project.
Okay.
So there you go. He talks a little bit about Linux on older hardware, XFCE, which I actually have a link to later on in the show.
Yeah,
so we
and
can
I
talk
actually,
about that a little bit later.
I will talk about that later, too, because I installed it on one of my computers.
Oh, nice. Mike had a lot of good lighting tips for
Blue screen Mike. We need to start consulting him before we do stuff and say, this is what we're going
to
do.
It's so like, what do you want to do today kind of thing, though, you know? Oftentimes, that's the best way to actually accomplish getting something done.
Yeah, because otherwise you're plan, and you spend so much time planning and never get it done.
Yeah.
Even though that's the right way to do it.
Well, and obviously the more resources you have, the more difficult it is to get them all together at the same time.
Yes.
So just read the comments on the last show if you want to see some tips on the film noir. I thought dropping the blue channel and stuff like that makes it really interesting. Oh, he also mentioned, because we had talked about the LCD screen not being the same as it was when he thinks it's a game.
All right, hang on. Get out. Out, out, out.
Dog problems.
Damn.
That you can actually reduce the brightness of the LCD display to more match the output or what your camera is recording.
Yes,
which makes a lot of sense to me, because then if you do some testing so that your brightness on your LCD matches whatever it is your camera's picking up,
yes,
then you can get a much better sense of what it is your camera's picking up.
And I think that's a great tip, actually, right there. Yeah. So I'm gonna claim that as our movie tip of the day.
Ooh, I like it. It's Mike's movie tip of the day.
Yes.
And he had a link to some steampunk.
Yeah,
stuff.
And,
that's really pretty cool.
Actually, what Rodian said is absolutely true. I watched the video of the Loco Centipede.
Yeah,
and I was extremely creeped out.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Yeah,
it was just really creepy.
Yeah, the closer robots get to having natural movement, the creepier it gets.
I completely agree.
You know, Dragulia said hello.
He's the one who started playing D&D again after he listened
to
our podcast.
That's right.
Oh, one of the things that we got a lot of comments on, because we talked in the last podcast about having different podcasts with different content, and
it's a resounding no.
Yeah, it's a resounding.
Don't split
it up. It's a resounding. Hey, you guys are ADD, and we like that.
Right. Keep it together, and don't worry about splitting it up. And I like that answer, and I think that I now won't have to think about that anymore.
Yeah.
So, good stuff. Good stuff. We also got.
Did you say about an 8d6 fireball?
Oh, I said that. I said thanks for all the comments. I feel re-inspired. We're going for a 19 on the d20 scale for the next show. This is my comment, by the way. I'm ready to cast an 8d6 fireball into cyberspace.
Nice. Very nerdy of you.
Yes, and he says an 8d6 fireball? Question mark. Even if I made my save, it would only change the texture of the ashes.
Wow.
Yep.
You must have low con.
What's the max for fireball? 96?
10d6.
10d6.
Yeah.
See, and I couldn't remember, so I thought, well, I'll play it safe and go to 8.
All right.
We still got more.
I know. Let's talk about what Texas Justin said.
Oh, okay. Texas Justin.
He wrote us a novel.
I don't even know where to start on this. He wrote us a novel. All really good and relevant stuff. I mean,
yes,
he's got some very interesting points. he talked about the advertising in the TV shows, that the objects, the what do they call that? Product placement. Replacing ads.
Right.
And I think he's got a really good point, because we talked about the fact that, well, that might not be so bad and we might not mind that so much. And one of the things that he talked about was it's funny, because I hadn't thought about it until he pointed it out, is that just as the acting has to be natural and normal,
yes,
so does the situation.
Right.
So if I, like, for example, if I'm talking to my wife and I say, I'm going to go down to the basement and play some video games, I'm not going to say, I'm going to go down to the basement and play some Halo 2.
Right.
You know, and maybe that's not the best example in the world, but if it's made obvious that you're mentioning the product.
Right.
And in a sort of a situation where you wouldn't normally.
Yeah. Like, hey, guys, would you like a refreshing Coca-Cola?
Exactly.
You wouldn't say that. You'd say, no. Hey, do you guys want to pop?
Right.
Well, unless you're not from the Midwest, in which case you might say soda. but you would never say Coca-Cola.
Right.
Even the people who say Coke, they'll say Coke. They don't say Coca-Cola.
Right. And you could even say, hey, do you guys want some pop? Or I've got Coke, and I've got some 7-Up, or I've got milk.
Right.
You know, that would be better as far as placement goes. And the other thing you mentioned about drinks, and this is sort of in the same idea, is that it becomes very obvious when an actor is holding something in a particular way to make sure that the product name is facing the camera.
Blatant product name placement. Yes. Totally uncovered. Right. Holding a can of pop that's so... Your hand looks...
Holding the can of pop from the bottom.
Right. Or holding it in some way that's just not natural. Yeah. Or your hands are pulled away and back so you can see the whole logo. Yeah. It's dumb.
Oh, and he also mentions that he doesn't... he doesn't want to see... the fantasy and sci-fi genre has become a real problem. And
he doesn't like the Coca-Cola logo on a sword hilt.
Yeah, he doesn't want to see Conan waving around a big sword with Coca-Cola down the side.
I think that'd be sweet.
That would be sweet, dude. Okay. The next topic that he talks about. Right. This is going to just be a show about.
Yeah, I just want to...
I just want to briefly go over these because he does have some good points.
He talked about... we talked about buying TV shows.
We talked about buying TV shows, and he does have a good point, is that... To me, I sort of I like the idea of buying TV shows on iTunes, but he's right in that if you're looking at, you can either buy the DVD set or you can buy the TV show. One, you've got the you can buy it through iTunes.
Right.
The DVD set, it costs a little bit more, but you've got a lot more flexibility with it. You can play it pretty much anywhere you want.
That's right.
You don't need your iPod to play it. You don't have DRM issues. So, I don't know. I think that probably what I'm going to end up using it for is missed episodes.
Right.
If I missed an episode of...
I think that's a great niche,
to
be perfectly honest.
I think so, too. If I missed an episode of Lost last night...
Right. You'll buy the episode
so you can catch up. I'll buy the episode so I can catch up. Yep.
He also mentioned, when we talked about Linux builds...
Yes.
He mentioned... Whoa, there's my monitor flickering.
Wow.
He mentioned Slackware, which I had looked at.
Yes.
But I can't remember why I decided not to go with it. His claim here is that it is more stable and faster than Ubuntu.
Really?
Well,
that's something for people to look at if they've got a slower machine.
Right. So Slackware Linux is something for you to look at.
He has the same problem with KarateCast that same addiction to KarateCast that I do.
Right.
Which I think is... I'm glad that it's not just me.
And then what is he mentions here that he wants us to film a session
of D&D.
Of D&D with the outtakes.
Which actually, I think in the media section, we have some clips of the beginning of our D&D documentary.
Right. So, which may never end up getting done.
Which might not ever get done. But it was fun to do what we did.
Right.
So.
Just so people know, it's really boring to edit a documentary.
Yeah. Well, it's not that it's boring so much. Is that it's difficult because you don't... And I remember talking to my uncle about this because I was asking him... I was talking to him about the Nature Walk thing.
Right.
And he said what you really want to do, even with a documentary, is come up with some sort of story.
Right.
Just some sort of framework so that you can go from A to B and have something so that you, when you're editing... You can work around that story.
You have that. We talked about this before. You have that theme that runs across your movie.
Yeah.
And whenever you question about what you're doing, what's this here? Do
you
I like it?
Always
do I
go
not?
Back to the theme.
Right. You cross reference with your theme. Am I on theme? Am I following my overall story?
Right. And the D&D session thing that we did, I have found it very difficult during the editing to have a theme, and I thought it was fun. And part of what I did was. during the interviews, essentially, I cut back to sort of B-roll stuff.
Right.
And that's kind of fun, but you can really only do that for so long until it becomes really uninteresting
monotonous
for the viewer.
And... Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean by boring.
Right.
You cut it, you edit it, you watch it, and you're like, wow, that's really not... It's not as fun and entertaining as I thought it might be to see the guys talking about how much of a geek they are and people's different opinions and that kind of stuff.
Right. And we do have another geek video that we link to on this episode. Then he also mentions that he doesn't want us to split up the episode. So.
Yes.
I like it.
All right, so we're not going to split up the episode. I like that.
Oh, and I, you know what? I don't have the email with me, but one of our listeners is a very experienced, I think 15 years, he said, in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
Really?
Yeah.
And, oh, awesome.
And he said if I needed any help on my black belt thesis that he would be glad to answer any questions I had, which
that
is really cool.
That is sweet.
Yeah, I
that's
thought that
very
was
cool.
And I thought what would be kind of fun is, and I don't know if we, well, you know what, this will never happen, but it's a cool idea, is to interview some of our listeners.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Through like Skype or something.
Well, what we could do is take their comments and like we'll take turns reading them as our listeners.
Oh,
and then we'll,
I like it.
Right, so it'd be like
I
a
like
pseudo
it.
Interview.
Sure, sure.
All right, one last comment here before we get onto our actual show.
Oh yes.
My ex college roommate Derek, who lives in Ohio and is very involved in the theater and film community around there, finally caught wind of our podcast, mm-hmm. and you met Derek when we were in college.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually stepped up to the plate for one of the challenges we issued, which was in episode 19, when we talked about the opening sequence of Serenity.
Yes.
And I had basically said, you know, I challenge anybody to find a better opening sequence that's done technically very, very well done.
Yes.
And even aesthetically very well done. And so he said that in Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, there's a scene where Sam Rockwell tours NBC, moves on to be hired by NBC, bangs a woman or two, gets promoted, and a bunch of other stuff all in one fluid camera
now,
shot.
Now, I want to see this.
Including costume changes.
And now, have you seen this?
No.
No.
And that's the next movie I will rent.
Yeah, me too. Me too. That's going on my Netflix list for sure.
Yep. So I'm curious now. So we're gonna have to watch that and we'll come back with the results and see if he indeed wins the competition, which he'll get nothing for, but
yeah. Well, you know. Well
props.
He'll get
props.
He'll get 5 points.
Good idea.
He'll
five
get five
points.
Points.
If you win a competition, you get 5 points.
Okay, so
ooh.
Thank you for the comments.
Yes.
I want to be sure that everybody realizes that. Oh, there were a couple of comments on the forums too.
Yes.
But I want to make sure that everybody realizes that we like both good and bad stuff. I mean, if there's something that we're doing that you'd like to see different.
Yeah, you know, if you think we suck, tell us we suck.
Right.
I mean, we don't care, but
right.
tell us anyway.
But at least we know you're listening.
Fun. Right, at least we know you're listening. I think that's the key.
Yeah. So, and, you know, it's funny because the Webelizer took a downturn for December. Like, we didn't get as
well,
many.
Well, January. January was
January.
Bad. January is a bad month. People are still on vacation. Yeah. And
so I started to think to myself, well, are people still listening? And
they are.
I'm not sure, and blah, blah, blah. So.
Real life gets in the way during the holidays.
Oh, yeah, and that's totally cool.
But by the way, our podcast is so much more important than real life. So negative points to all you people who stop listening to our podcast over Christmas.
Yes, indeed.
Negative 5 points.
So now you got to win a contest. So shall we move on to martial arts stuff?
Let's kick this bad boy off.
The martial arts topic I picked for this week was working with women.
Yes.
Now,
you and I are
men.
Get it?
So, yes. Yes, and that's exactly my point. That is exactly my point. And I think that it's a very almost awkward, not awkward situation, but for example, I don't have a problem you and I working together when I do a takedown technique and I have to put my arm across your chest and sweep you to throw you down.
Yes.
When I do, I have to be very careful when I do that with a woman for two reasons. One, obviously, I don't want to make her uncomfortable.
Right.
And two, I'm married.
Right.
You know, and there's, I don't know, I have been in situations before where I was, when I was taken in my Hapkido, I was young and single, but there was this married woman in the class that was coming on to everybody.
Really?
Yeah. And she,
good for her.
Yeah, and you know, if you're young and single, that's fine. But I don't know. I just think that you have to.
Right. Well, but you also have to keep in mind that you're tussling around, maybe wrestling around, or whatever, and shit happens.
And you got you have to. This is why you need to trust your workout partners. You need that's why it's difficult to work with people you don't know.
Right.
If you work with somebody you know, when shit like that happens, you know that it doesn't mean anything. You're fighting, you're sparring, you're grappling around, and things happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's. But you're right. You feel uncomfortable, and you need to. I use this term loosely. You need to feel out your partner to figure out how much. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right.
I do. And it's just, you know what? That's true because the more advanced female students in our class, I don't have any problems with hesitating about my technique.
Exactly.
The newer students, I take great care. And I wonder if men working with women, there's a certain sacrifice of technique made.
There is.
So that you don't touch people inappropriately.
Right. You make concessions to make sure everybody feels comfortable.
Yes.
You have to.
You have
you
to.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting because the other night when I taught class on Tuesday, I actually did a little bit of grappling stuff. So just some really basic stuff. I didn't try to get fancy.
Well, look at the mount, for example.
Right, and I made sure, and we did a traditional wrestling starting position. So somebody was on a side mount, somebody was on their knees, and I did a little drill. It wasn't real life wrestling. It was a drill that I wanted them to do. And I specifically counted pairs of evens, odds. I put the women with the women, the men with the men, and luckily there weren't any, you know, and... It's easier for me or for you because we can do a technique for the most part while sacrificing a little bit and maybe fudging it here and there to avoid that, you know, what someone may feel is
grabbing somebody's tit. You know, I mean, that's... But, I mean, and it's funny. I'd be really interested in people who do, like, jiu-jitsu and stuff. I mean, just the guard.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're in the guard with a woman, everything's right there.
Yeah.
You know, that's... And I would imagine that would become very uncomfortable. Right. Now, I'd also imagine that, especially for the jiu-jitsu guys, I'm sure they wear cups almost every day. You know, because when you're wrestling around like that, there's knees flying and stuff like that.
Yeah, your jaw tends to get smacked around.
Yeah, there's more of a potential for accidents. But even so, it's like... And I know that my wife... One of the things she gets jealous sometimes about it because not only is there close physical contact, but there's close physical contact with people that have an interest that you have. So you have a common interest, there's a lot of touching involved, and although I do think that there's a misconception for people that don't know, there's not as much touching as people think.
Right, and you also have to realize that your intent behind touching of this nature
is hurting.
Is to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
It's not sexual that it's silly.
Yeah. Usually if you brush a titty, it's because you went...
Right. There's no brushing. You elbow smashed it.
Right, exactly.
I'd actually, you know what, I don't know how many women, if any, listen to this podcast. I'd be very curious to hear feedback from a woman.
I would too.
Because I have a feeling that men, it's a much bigger deal for a man than a woman.
I would think so as well.
I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, correct me.
And I would think so too. I would imagine that especially for a woman in that situation is, unless, well, actually what's inspired me to talk about this topic is that some instructor got arrested for sexual assault or sexual harassment or something like that.
Really?
And it looked like from the article, and I didn't post a link to the article because it sort of just inspired the topic, but it looked like he was genuinely taking advantage of his position as an instructor. Which I think is disgusting, personally.
Right.
Yeah, it got me thinking about it in that as a woman, I would imagine, it's one of those things where you also have to say, well, you know, he just touched me inappropriately. But did he do it because he was doing his technique?
Right.
Or was he like copping
a feel?
You
know what? You can tell. I mean, seriously.
I would imagine
when
you
really
tell.
Think, unless you're a really uptight and all that kind of, and you shouldn't be doing it anyway.
And again, it comes back to knowing your partner.
Right.
And knowing the school.
And that's the thing, right there. If you, as a man, feel uncomfortable working with a woman because you're afraid, no matter who she is, that she may think it's inappropriate, don't work with a woman.
Absolutely.
Pick a male partner. Tell your instructor, I feel uncomfortable working with women because
right.
I feel uncomfortable.
Yep.
Work with men.
Right.
As a woman, if you feel uncomfortable working with a man partner, work with women.
I agree.
That's all there is to it.
I agree. And you know, I think there are a lot of arts out there that don't do takedowns and grappling
right.
and things like
yeah,
that.
There's no contact. There's Tai Chi, for the most part.
Tai Chi. Taekwondo, for that matter.
Taekwondo.
They do. It's pretty much all strikes. I know that there are some newer schools out there that mix it up a little bit, but from my understanding, traditional Taekwondo doesn't really do any wrestling or grappling or any of that
right.
stuff. So,
which reminds me, there's also another option there, I guess. If a woman's self-conscious about that, or even the man is, wear a chest protector while you work.
That's actually a good idea, too.
I tell you what, you can't grow up anything through one of those things.
No.
It's like wearing a big thing of cardboard around
yeah.
you.
Yeah, yeah.
Waste. All right, we've told
I just think it's an interesting topic, because you do... I have found myself pulling back a little bit to say I need to not fully do this technique or not fully demonstrate this technique, because... especially with newer female students.
Right.
Because I do not want to make them uncomfortable or give them the wrong impression or...
Yep.
You never know how someone's going to take it.
It's especially a big deal in this day and age.
And
There's so many things in this day and age. I mean, it's bordering the ridiculous
right.
about what people can claim and what they can do and what the law actually... who the law will side with, even when there are things that are completely innocent being
right.
done... and they're just people being stupid.
Yep.
So just
yep.
not worth it if you feel
not
it's
worth it.
Yeah.
So
the EJMAS. What is this?
This is actually, I got a better look at it. This is the site that reviewed our podcast on the last podcast. He sent me I think he posted on the forums.
He did post on the forums.
He posted on the forums. Saying,
Jason was his name. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Jason. Hey, I reviewed your podcast. I thought it was funny because I picked up his review from our web logs.
That's right.
And I didn't really get a good look at the rest of the site because I really just checked the review. This is a really cool looking site. I think it's a little bit difficult to navigate, but other than that, they've got some very interesting content.
This is the Electronic Journals of Martial Arts and Sciences, the EJMAS.
Yep, and their publications include... the Journal of Alternative Perspectives on the Martial Arts and Sciences, the Journal of Combative Sports, the Journal of Non-Lethal Combatives, the Journal of Theatrical Combatives.
Oh, nice.
Journal of Western Martial Arts, and Journal of Manly Arts, European and Colonial Combatives.
That's Manly Arts.
Manly Arts. Manly. And there's a few others, but it's very interesting, and they've got some pretty good articles. They've got an article on African martial arts and just some others. So I think if you're looking for something that is sort of, I don't know if I would call it on the fringes of martial arts necessarily, but things you don't necessarily run into all the time. I mean,
this looks like a lot of history and...
yeah,
book information about martial arts.
Yes, very academic information.
Academic.
That's good. I mean, if you want to learn a new technique about throwing a sidekick, then this is probably not the place for
right.
you. But for those people that have read umpteen million articles about throwing sidekicks already, this may be
you
something that you're looking
more.
For.
You'll have umpteenth and one.
That's right. No, but so it is, like I say, they had an article on... shit.
No, really?
No, I'm screwed.
An article on shit.
Yeah. I don't know.
Wow, they've got a lot of crazy articles.
They got a lot of articles. So anyway, it's definitely worth the check out. I just thought it was interesting, so
wow.
Let's throw up the link.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, that's on martial arts.
There you go. Tech tips.
Google bookmarks. I saw this. It's new.
Now, this is somewhat new. It's been around for kind of a while, but they've sort of reinvigorated it.
You know why?
Because we talked about Delicious last time.
Yes.
That's why.
Google heard us. Talk about Delicious.
I
and
hear
now
that,
they're pissed.
That the guys at Google are like, oh shit, Dan and Sterling are talking about Delicious.
I know.
We better get on top of that because,
Yep. So Google Bookmarks now is a place similar to Delicious that you can store your bookmarks and globally retrieve them from any internet.
Right. Now, the only downside necessarily about the Google Bookmarks, and I don't know how the Delicious account works, but if you wanted to have more than one person editing the bookmarks, you'd essentially have to have sort of a group Gmail account. Which I guess wouldn't be that big a deal. Like, we could have a Podzor Gmail account.
Right.
And then we could both edit the Google bookmarks. But, I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? I read the description, and I was like, eh. I really like the Delicious thing. I like the way it works.
Right.
And it's tasty.
There you go. So, anyway, it's just a sort of an alternate to Delicious more than anything else.
That's a good...
But they do let you categorize different bookmarks and...
That's nice. The one thing about the Delicious thing is basically you have a global page of all your bookmarks.
Yes.
And then you tag them. So it's similar to how Gmail has.
And I think the Google bookmarks do the same thing.
Right. So you click on the tags.
Labels.
Labels. There we go.
Yeah. So anyway, there's the tech tips.
So Google bookmarks.
Check out Google bookmarks. It's cool. On to science and tech and science stuff. I always want to say science and tech stuff. Tech and science stuff. I have a review of my new headphones.
Tell us about them.
Well, this is the story behind my headphones, right?
We want to tell them what they are first?
They're headphones.
You're such a dick.
They're Sony P-Carp.
I've heard of them.
They're,
I heard they have ear things.
They have ear things, that, and the noise comes out the ear things. It works really well. They are Sony MDR-NC6 noise-canceling headphones.
It's like about $40.
And buy them at Amazon. I bought them at Best Buy for $60 and got screwed.
Never buy from Best Buy. Those guys are a bunch of butt pirates.
I'm just... they're a bunch of manhole inspectors.
Seriously.
The problem is I'm such an immediate gratification person. I just have to have it now.
I know. I'm the same
way.
Oh,
and I had a gift certificate.
Okay.
So the story behind these is I needed a bigger pair of headphones for work to make it more apparent to people that came into my cubicle that I'm busy. Still doesn't work, but actually it works. It has worked better. Like, people still bother me, but they have something that... they have a question to ask me, or they have something relevant.
Okay.
So anyway, I wanted to buy a really nice, comfortable pair of high-quality headphones. And when I went into Best Buy, the only things that I could find were, like, the Bose, and they were $150, $160 bucks. And I just couldn't justify spending that much money on a pair of headphones.
I completely agree.
So what I decided to do was I decided to go with the geek factor of the noise-canceling headphones for $70.
Yeah.
So this is the downside. The noise-canceling is the most... It's very weird. It's you flip the little switch on, and, like, the noise from these computers or the... I never noticed... the air conditioning sound at work before.
Oh,
and I
turn
these things on, and it's like... it just totally... And you take your headphones off. Like, you pull it away from your ear, and you can hear it again. And so you start to think, like, the silence is normal. And then you take them off, and you're like, what the fuck is that sound?
It's so loud!
Yeah. So they work really well.
That's cool.
I tried them out in my truck, and I had the window rolled down. Put them on, turned on the noise canceling, couldn't hear a fucking thing.
Really?
Yeah. Now you can hear...
I didn't know there was that. Wow.
Well, it cancels out white noise.
Okay. Right. That's what it's supposed to do, yeah.
Right. So, like, knocks or people talking or something like that, you can still hear it, but it sounds a little bit muffled. It sounds like you're talking through a microphone or something. That's kind of weird, too.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's sort of like doing the noise canceling in Audacity.
Okay.
Except that just... So it takes a little clip of... the audio and
pulls
some sound out of there. But the only problem with them is they're a little tight to my ears. So after I wear them for about an hour, my ears start to get sore.
I had that problem with every set of headphones I've ever
had. And I'll tell you what, though. I tried these Bose headphones on at Best Buy, and they had the nice squishy pad, and they were all light and shit.
Felt like you had boobies on your ear?
Yeah, pretty much. But they were $160, so I was like,
I don't know.
That.
That's an awful lot for boobies.
So I will give this...
On the D20 scale?
A 15.
15 on the D20 scale.
15, because they do what they advertise. All
right, good.
They are good, and I would imagine, especially if for some reason you take a lot of airplane trips or something like that.
That could be good.
You know? Anyway, good stuff.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Grakesteration.
Grakesteration. This is... did you see this link?
I did, but I can't remember what the heck it is.
This is really, really cool. It's a free image restoration.
That's right.
Software. And I tried it on a couple of my photos, and this is what I did. I tried this on actually the picture of you and I at my wedding.
Oh, okay.
Because it was we were wearing tuxes, and it was dark behind us.
Right.
So it's very contrasty, but also very washed out.
Okay.
So I ran this Grakesteration, and you can like process the image multiple times, and I did it like 5 or 6 times, and it looked really good. Looked really good.
Nice.
And then I opened it up in the Microsoft Photo Viewer and hit autocorrect. And it was good, but not quite as good.
Okay.
And actually, they have some pretty amazing demonstrations for this, especially in the area of image resizing. If you go down to the image resizing, it does, I don't know what it does. It must find edges and smooth the edges. It doesn't just resize it based on pixels.
That's really cool.
Isn't that neat? Yeah, so if you do a lot of image manipulation, this is probably a good tool to have in your toolbox.
That's pretty interesting.
Oh, and check this out. Look at that. So what it can also do is if you have a really...
I'll explain what we're looking at here. What we're looking at is a picture of a woman, and they've checkerboarded it.
Yes.
So every other so many pixels is just a black square.
Right.
And then they restored the picture
to fill in
the black squares.
And it looks like a regular picture.
That is sweet.
Look at this one. You can also do a mask.
No way.
Where you essentially have an image. You apply a mask to that image, and it's smart enough to sort of figure out what it is that you want to remove.
Wow. This is a picture of a parrot behind a cage, and they've masked out the cage, and it redraws the picture minus the front bars on the thing, and it looks great.
It looks really good. So like I say, if you're into image manipulation or anything like that, this is a really cool idea.
Wow, we need to remember this.
Yeah, I've got it on my laptop now. So
all right, excellent. There you go, Grakesteration.
Grakesteration. The next one, we got a science one.
I know,
got a science one. Tiny planet found. Now this planet is not tiny,
right?
But it's the smallest one found yet, I believe.
You know, I was excited about this. I was reading along.
Yes.
And then they basically said the planet would be too cold to support life.
Right.
But it's the most Earth-like planet that they found that they're claiming, right?
Yes.
And my thought was, okay.
Well, this is the issue, is that this planet is about 5.5 times the size of Earth.
Right.
And
it's rotating around a red dwarf sun.
And it's quite a bit further from its sun than the Earth is from ours.
And their sun is much less warm.
Yes. So, there's nothing really special about finding this specific planet. But, I don't know, this may be the first rocky planet that they've found. Because so far, it's just been these really big gas giant planets that we're fairly sure are too violent to support life.
Right.
As we know it anyway.
So this is a planet that could have supported life when it was warmer.
If I think that the idea is, is that if this planet were in a different place in its orbit, if it had a different orbit, or maybe if it were a little smaller.
Or if its sun hadn't dwarfed.
Or if it had a different sun, it has a very good chance of supporting life, and we have a very good chance of finding it. So I really think that it's only a matter of time before we start to find planets that are at least the same size as Earth.
Right.
I don't know if it'll be any time soon that we'll be able to figure out, like, is, you know, what percent of the planet is water, and what percent of the planet is oxygen, and all that jazz, because I think that's a whole nother story.
Right.
But to say that we're starting to find these smaller and smaller and smaller planets, and the biggest deal, of course, is that they exist at all.
Yes.
Right? Because the first step in the argument of is there life on other planets, you first have to ask the question is, are there other planets? After you answer the question of are there other planets, you have to ask the question, are there other planets that can support life?
Right.
And I think that this is one more piece of evidence to say it's really only a matter of time before we find another planet that is almost certainly at least capable of supporting life.
Right.
And I should do it for the next episode. There's an equation that you can do. And obviously nobody really knows the numbers, but it takes into account how many stars there are, our estimate of how many planets around each star, our estimate of what percentage of those can support life, our percentage of what do support life, the percentage of, if of those that support life, what percentage of those would support intelligent life.
Interesting.
And really, just because the vast amount of numbers that you start with, even if you say, well, only 1/1,000,000,000 of the planets that we find or that are out there support in life, and only 1/1,000,000,000 of those support intelligent life, you still got a shitload.
Right.
Just because there's so many opportunities.
Yep.
And the thing that's interesting, though, is I think the biggest N factor in all that is, and Carl Sagan talks about this a lot, is that you've also got to get these things to line up on a timeline.
Yes.
Because if the human race blows itself up in 1,000 years, then you may have all these populations of intelligent life popping up throughout the universe, but they just might be flashbulbs.
Right.
They'd never go on at the same time.
Right.
So really, even if there were intelligent life in the universe out there, one, it's too far, because the distances are just
That's really the biggest thing.
And the other thing is these pockets of intelligence are just like flashbulbs, because they go on and on.
Right, when you consider how old the universe is compared to how old our planet and mankind here on Earth is,
it's a blink of an eye. That's almost a flashbulb itself. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the sun's been around for about 4 to 5 billion years.
Well, right, but how long has our
The universe has been around, they say, I think 14 or 15.
Right, but humankind's been around for, we're guessing,
40 million, I think, is the number.
Humankind?
Yes.
Humans?
Yes.
40 million?
40 million.
You sure that's not like...
Maybe it's 4 million.
Animals? I don't think it's 40 million. Maybe it's 4 million. Yeah.
It's 4 million.
I think it's 4 million. Somebody's going to have to answer somebody's that. That's going to be one for number three.
Yeah. I think it's 4... But still, 4 million is still the blink of an eye.
Compared to the age of the universe.
Essentially, if you look at it like in a calendar format, human beings have been on the planet for the last second of the last day in the calendar of the universe.
Yes.
So it's still the blink of an eye.
Okay. Let's move on.
British ISPs ordered to turn in... This is taking a little turn, isn't it?
Yeah.
British ISPs ordered to turn in customer information.
Okay. This has interesting repercussions, because what's happening now is this ISP has been ordered to basically turn in customer information about some people who have been downloading illegal music. So the British government has ordered these ISPs have to turn over the pertinent client information. Now, so they can actually prosecute these people and find out who they are.
I don't think this is unusual, though.
It is. That's why it's noteworthy. No ISP that I've ever heard of has ever been ordered to turn over client information.
No, I've heard of them. There was this guy. There was this guy on Twit a couple of weeks ago that said, there's a difference. Is that
the difference is an ISP can say yes, we'll give it to you, but for them to have been ordered by a United States Court of Law to turn over information in law, these were guys were ordered by the law.
I think ISPs have gotten subpoenas before. Because otherwise,
I don't think so.
Otherwise, how would the MMPA
right now though
get any information at all? How would they ever find anybody?
Right now though, that's one of the biggest problems. There are court challenges all over the place because of downloading information, and ISPs are left and right going, "No, we're not going to give you that information."
Yeah, but so far they have prosecuted, I think, 20,000 people.
But there's never been, that I'm recalling, and maybe I'm wrong here, so if somebody knows the difference, I'd like to know. I have never seen anything where a court of law has ordered an ISP to say, you have to reveal customer information.
No, I think it's a common practice, actually. And I think that the thing is, though, is they have to do what's called a John Doe lawsuit. They have to open up a lawsuit saying, I don't know the name of this person. Then they take that to court. Then the court will actually subpoena the ISP to say, give me this information. Now, there are a couple of services out there. One is called Anonymizer. And what they do is they destroy their logs, or they actually just don't keep logs.
Okay.
So your IP address goes into the Anonymizer, gets bounced around three or four of their Anonymizer servers.
Right.
Comes out the other end, and because they don't keep logs on what your IP got changed into, there's no way to trace it back to your original IP. But I think subpoenas for logs is not common, but I don't think it's out of the ordinary.
I think that that's the whole reason this is noteworthy. Otherwise, why would they post this? What's the point? Who cares? The article is all about the fact that the government or the law forced these guys to turn over pertinent information.
Well, I don't know. I think
somebody needs to help us figure that one out then, because I am fairly certain that this is something that is not common. It is not common.
And maybe it's
for
not
the
common
courts,
for the UK.
For the courts, it's not common for the US either. I guarantee it.
Okay.
There it is. I've issued the challenge.
We need more research on
I've
that
guaranteed
one.
It. Okay.
Okay.
So anyhow, I thought that was noteworthy.
Yes.
That now
it is noteworthy.
What is noteworthy is that it's very rare for, especially in the United States, for them to make, for the Justice Department, for anybody in law to make any sort of statement about the internet that sticks. You know what I mean? They don't like making rules up.
Yeah,
about
but
the
see,
internet
this yet. Is the thing: is that if you make the analogy to paper life, right? Is that I go somewhere. I buy a particular product, they give me a receipt, right?
Yep.
Or whatever. And to have, say, the feds or a court go to Best Buy and say, we are prosecuting Dan Williams for some criminal activity, we need to take a look at his receipt, the, you know, what he bought. Well, I have a reward zone thing for
right.
Best Buy. To say to Best Buy, we need to look at his purchases. You track them through Reward Zone. You need to give those to us.
Right.
I don't think that would be unusual. So
you're right.
So what's the difference to go to an ISP and
the
say,
request
give
is
us
not.
Your logs?
However, it's a big deal. And if you look back through the case histories, it's a big challenge in court. You can't just go in there and say, it doesn't work that way. In fact, there have been challenges left and right where they had to take ISPs to court because they were not going to give up information on their clients. And they didn't have anything to compel them to do that because there's no case law yet. There's not enough established case law based around the internet. That's the problem. And what you're seeing is, and that's why the whole thing, why don't they tax internet purchases?
Because it's too difficult to track.
No, it's not.
It's a pain
they
in the ass.
They could do it, but why don't they? No, there's legislation all over.
Huge pain in the ass.
It has nothing to do with how much of a pain in the ass it is.
It's a huge pain in the ass.
But the reason that they're not doing it has nothing to do with how hard it is.
Every time I log onto the internet, I could do an IP renew and get a whole new IP address.
It doesn't matter.
That means that they would have to go through the logs and track back my IP address on this certain day at this certain time.
Why not just use your credit card?
To find out if it's me.
Why not just use your credit card?
Well, that's a good question.
The point is, the reason they don't tax the internet is because you have lobbyists and other groups that are fighting to make sure it's not taxable.
Well, the
you
difference
look at
there,
the governor,
though...
No, the governor of Michigan is trying to get taxes for internet purchases to get more money for
right,
Michigan.
But there's but a difference between, I can guarantee you, a court order, and I'm sure it's happened 100,000 times before, is a court order goes to my bank and says, we have a subpoena, give us his credit card charges for the last 2 years.
Right.
And they would hand it over.
I'm not saying that you're wrong.
Right? So the reason they don't do credit card purchases is because it's a blanket issue. That would be bad, is to say, and I think we talked about this in the last episode, to say, well, we're just going to put a sniffer on your server.
Why would they have to sniff anything? Here's the deal. You make a purchase on the internet. I charge you tax based on the city you say you're from.
Right.
That's it.
Who enforces that?
What do you mean? They bill you for it.
Who forces the company in California to tax me my Michigan sales tax?
Who forces you? Who forces anybody to make taxes?
Well, the federal government forces federal taxes. The state government forces state taxes.
Right.
So somebody in California is going to go, fuck you, Michigan. I'm going to sell more if I don't do Michigan state
right.
taxes.
But
and I don't give a shit about Michigan because I don't live
point.
There.
Here's my point. The reason they don't tax stuff on the internet is not because they don't want to do it. It's because because they don't want to do it. It's because California and all these other places are saying,
yes.
yeah, we don't want to do that. That's why they're not doing it. They're
right.
not doing it because it's too hard to do it. They're doing it because it's too hard to physically tax somebody.
No.
They're doing it because there are lobbyist groups who don't want to tax internet.
No. The companies are doing it because they don't want to do it.
Right, exactly.
The governments aren't enforcing it because it's too much
right.
work.
But they want to. The governments
want
that money.
They
That's
want
my point.
To. The problem with it is that, one, it's too much work. Two, you'd have to have these blanket sort of laws saying we're going to attach
right.
this box to your server and it's going to log all the ISP traffic. All
right, now that's my point right there.
You can't do that.
That is why you do not see laws governing the internet very much right now.
That's right.
Because people are keeping the government out on purpose. Whenever the government tries to make a law about the internet, they just don't pass because you got people coming out of the woodwork to stop the government from fucking with the internet.
But that's different than saying I think Dan Williams is doing something wrong. We need your server
It
logs.
Is different. That issue is different. But there are still people out there who are saying, no, you can't have access to that information. It happens all the time. You read about it all the time.
Okay.
Wow! There! Look! That's like our first online argument.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah!
Nice work, dude.
All right.
You get 5 points.
You realize that everybody just skipped that whole section after
Probably
we repeated
like, fast
ourselves.
Probably they were like, fast forward.
Shut the fuck up, guys. All right. Screw all that crap.
Okay.
XFCE. XFCE. This is not a Linux distribution.
No.
This is a session manager, like KDE, GNOME.
Right. It's a Windows manager.
X-Windows.
X.
And then you have XFCE, which is a
I believe
session manager.
X Windows is what all of these sit on top of.
There's a confusion there. X Windows is that underlying layer that runs the graphical
interface
stuff. There is actually a windowed interface. The original Linux GUI is called X Windows. Now, Rodian's probably going to nail me on that because that's probably not the original one, but I believe that's true.
And I think it's just called X, to tell you the truth.
I believe actually the graphical service is called X.
Okay.
And X Windows is the first GUI that runs on X.
Well, I think Linux is pretty stupid anyway.
I know. Stupid Linux. All right. This other one is really quick, actually. This is the open source.
This is really cool.
Yeah, I thought this
was
fun.
I really like this link.
What was I just going to say? The open source licenses. This is a link that has every open source license ever made listed
yes.
on it.
Well, a
you
lot
get,
of them
You
anyway.
Get my point. A lot yeah. of them. And I thought this was very cool. First of all, to prove the point that what the hell does open, you know,
what is an open license?
Right. What is an open
and
license,
think,
and why do you need all of these?
Well, and I think that people say open source license and assume it's all the same thing.
Right.
And it's, like, it's not. They assume everything is GPL.
Right.
Or and that's just not the case. And there are a ton of licenses. And what I like about this actually is that because all of these licenses are open source, if you're considering putting out a movie or a script or anything in the open source area, you can borrow one of these.
Yep.
You can say, you know what? I'm going to put this piece of software and it's going to go under the Zope public license. Whatever the fuck the Zope public license is.
Right.
If you like, you know, what the Zope public license is all about and say, yeah, that makes sense for what I want to put out there. Yep. You know?
I think this bodes the point, though, that if you're going to do something open source, you need to really do a little research on which license you're going to release under.
I think, too, if as a company you're going to implement something open source,
yeah,
you need to do that as well. You need to say, what am I using this for? What is the license? Because I know that there are licenses that are open source for personal use, but you have to pay for corporate use.
Right.
So you have to be very careful about that stuff.
Yep.
And more than anything else, because I'm sure there's not like there's not a whole lot of policing of it, but you just have to be respectful.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
So this
open source licenses.
The next story is kind of a big one. And this should be under video game stuff, shouldn't it?
That's all right.
The PSP version 2.6 supposedly has been cracked.
Well, I'm shocked.
Yeah. Now I tried this. I downloaded it, right?
Okay.
First of all, you need Grand Theft Auto, right?
Really?
Yeah. There's an exploit in the Grand Theft Auto game,
right?
So what you do is you actually download a save game for Grand Theft Auto. And when Grand Theft Auto starts, it auto-starts that save game and kicks into the homebrew runner, essentially, the homebrew application runner.
Okay.
I've tried it, and the problem for me is that it works, and it comes up, and I actually have a GBA emulator and a SNES emulator on there, but for some reason, after about 10 or 15 seconds, it shuts my PSP down.
Mm.
So they do say on the page that it's in beta.
Ah, okay.
And so they're not saying it's going to work for everybody every time, but it's very promising for those people that... And I'm totally...
It doesn't matter. They're going to come out with version 2.0. This is going to be an ongoing issue until eventually Sony gets the point that no matter what they do, someone's going to crack it.
Yeah.
And they need to just go, okay, whatever.
Right.
I don't understand why it's such a big deal.
I don't know. I don't know either.
I never understand why it's such a big deal. It's the best thing that anybody can do for their software or for their hardware.
Open it up.
Open it up, because you'll be amazed some of the really cool things people will discover and be able to use your equipment for. That's so important, I think.
And, did you see? I didn't get time to put it on here, but there was an article on Dig about the PS3.
No,
I guess they had some stuff about the new features of the PS3, and one of them is really tight integration with your PSP.
So
things like you will be able to store video on your PS3 and wirelessly open it up and play it on your PSP.
That is the bomb.
And it will work like a PVR. So what you could do, and supposedly, I'll see this when I believe it.
You mean you'll believe it when you see it?
I'll believe it when I see it. There you go. I knew it was one of those two. Supposedly, you can do that. You can tunnel that connection through the internet.
Wow.
So if I have a wireless connection at work,
right,
and I have my PSP hooked up to my PS3 hooked up to the internet, and it recorded Lost last night, I can then watch that Lost recording on my PSP at work.
Oh, man. See,
now the thing is that you know that the individual pieces of technology are there. It's really just a matter of putting all those pieces together. So it's just a matter of putting those technologies together and making them work. Right now, for example, I've got Hamachi running, which is sort of a tunneling protocol.
Okay.
Between...
Does that stream then?
Well, no. See, this is the thing, is that, for example, Hamachi, all Hamachi does is it creates a virtual network across the internet between two computers. So then you can do anything that you would normally do on a local network except across the internet. So, for example, this is the one of the interesting things that surprised me the other day, is in iTunes, you can make your playlist publicly available.
Yes.
So other people can... They can't copy your music, but they can play your music.
See, I had a guy at work who had his playlist available.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, without having his password, iTunes wouldn't let me listen to his playlist.
Well, that's true for DMC'd music.
Okay.
So if it's just a standard MP3 with no copy protection, you can play it no problem.
Ah, gotcha.
Okay. So I'm sitting at home the other day, and bloop, my playlist at work pops up in my iTunes. And I was like, whoa, that's weird.
Oh,
and sure enough,
sweet.
I double-clicked on an MP3, and it streamed right across the internet through Hamachi, no problem.
No kidding.
Yeah. So to be able to say you could do that with video...
Damn.
I mean, all the technology is there. It's just a matter of fitting it all
together. See, now that makes me wishy-washy again, because I really had my heart set on buying the new Nintendo Revolution. Just for the controller. However, if I can do that with the PS3,
yeah.
I will...
The downside is, what if a PS3 is $600?
I know.
Then that's gonna be a problem for me.
Yeah, me
if it's
too.
$600 for the PS3, it's $10 a month for the Xbox Live-like service, whatever Sony comes out with. Because you know they're going to have something like that.
Yeah, but Xbox Live now is free if you don't get the gold member.
That's true.
So if they're going to have...
But I think I think you have a lot of restrictions if you don't get the gold member. I think there's a lot of stuff it doesn't do.
You said member.
Anyway, that wasn't
even
the topic.
It's all pure conjecture anyway.
Pure conjecture. And I hear there's a port that you can stick your dick in and it'll suck it for you.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that might be worth $600.
I think so.
Movie stuff.
Man, getting piped while playing a video game.
you could probably get a special remote controller that has the rumble pack on it.
Oh, yeah. See? The remote control on one hand, a sandwich in the other.
A sandwich. And your PS3.
And getting blown.
Now all it needs is boobies.
That's the trifecta, right?
This is the booby episode.
The booby episode.
Okay, movie stuff. More comments from Derek, because he's been catching up to all of our stuff.
Yes.
He felt a little slighted because we had slighted Hollywood, and he said there's... So he had to give us the rundown of some movies he felt were actually worth waiting for and watching over these next couple months.
Okay.
He mentioned Silent Hill.
Wait, let's go through these one at a time.
I'm going to. Silent Hill, which is basically off of a video game.
Right. And you know what? Now that I think about it, there are so many movies... Good movies that came from video games that... Oh, wait a minute.
No.
Actually, there's not.
I think you're wrong.
In fact, I don't know if there's one that I can
think
of. The first Resident Evil was okay. But
okay.
Right.
We'll use... what was the other one? They just came out with a movie called Rain. Well, the Geeks On talked about it. Blood Rain.
Yeah.
And one of the Geeks On's guys, his friend was in the movie, acted in the movie, and he even said, this is a big pile of dookie.
Yeah. So
okay. So yeah, I
we're
wrote
calling
Silent
you
Hill.
Out on Silent Hill.
I am too. I'm going to call bullshit on Silent Hill. That's going to be a piece of shit. Inside Man,
which is a porn.
No. That's a different one.
Oh, that's Inside the Man.
Right.
Okay.
The Inside Man is one with Denzel Washington and Clive Owen. Clive Owen has the most perfect bank robbery planned.
Okay.
Watch the preview for it, because in fact, I agree. This movie looks like it's going to be very good.
Okay.
So
okay.
I will agree with that one.
Okay, so he calls bullshit on us.
Yes.
Okay.
So, V for Vendetta. And not so sure.
I'm not so sure.
I love the concept, but the preview looks so cheesy to me.
Sort of over the top.
That I'm not buying it.
Okay.
I'm not going to call bullshit. I'm going to go see it because I'm curious.
Yes.
I'll be shocked if it's as good as I really would like it to
yes.
be. Based on a comic book, by the way.
One of the things I would enjoy, especially because I know Derek is such a videophile,
Yes.
If he actually goes and sees anything and writes up a review or something.
Oh yeah.
I'd love to like read it on the show or post it or
it's a good idea.
Even if he wants to record an MP3 and send it in, we'll add it into the show.
There you go, Derek. So, you can be our movie reviewer.
Probably
if you
far
want.
More legitimate reviews than ours are.
Probably. I thought it was pretty good. Yeah. There were some boobies in it. And,
I liked it.
Except for the ass fucking, it wasn't bad.
Okay. A Scanner Darkly. Have you seen the preview for this?
No.
Okay. This is cool just for the technicality of it all. It looks like
the technicality.
It's like a mix between a comic book and real life. It's got Keanu Reeves in it.
I have seen the
And it's
the
got like this crazy...
Essentially what they did was, what it looks like to me they did, is they, and from what I've heard, is they actually filmed the whole movie.
Right.
And then they animated... Over the film.
Right. So it looks like a combination of anime and real life
yes.
meshed together.
Yes.
So from a technical standpoint, very interesting. It right. reminds me of something interesting like the one that just came out last year, the black and white film noir, the big film
Oh,
noir,
Sin City.
Sin City.
Yes.
That type of technical thing. Yes. You know, it's a niche for
well,
your
they,
movie.
Well, they said the same thing about Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Yeah, but that
And
looked
we
like
all
a
know
piece
how good
shit.
That was.
That was... I didn't even see it, and it was a piece of shit.
And I'm getting really turned off by Keanu Reeves.
Really?
Not that I was ever turned on by him.
All right. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Except in college, and I was experimenting.
No. Don't go there.
No, but I don't know. Keanu Reeves is... It's that I've seen him in so many roles now, and he plays the same character every time.
Whoa.
It's making me crazy. And early in his career, it didn't bother me because I'd only seen like 3 or 4 movies
right.
with him. So it's like,
I did, however, like Constantine.
I did like Constantine.
That was a great movie.
You know what?
Had nothing to do with him being in it.
That's the thing, is it had nothing to do with him.
Right. It was a good movie.
Right.
Replaced him with anybody else and it
still
would have been,
a good movie.
He didn't make the movie.
Yes.
In fact, I don't think he made... any movie. I mean, if you pick any movie that he's in and you replaced him, the movie wouldn't suddenly have gone sour.
And I don't know if it would have necessarily lost anything.
Right.
At
and
all.
That's the problem with a leading
maybe,
man.
Maybe Bill and Ted's.
A leading man in a movie, the movie needs to basically have not really been quite as good if the leading man wasn't in it.
Well, and
that's
and,
what makes
and,
a good
and
leading
and
sometimes,
man. Sometimes you look at Harrison Ford. Can you imagine anyone else as Indiana Jones? No.
No, I can't.
And he carries that movie.
Right.
Now, you know, obviously it's a great movie, very well directed, good story, all that jazz, but he is such a strong character in that movie.
Exactly.
That it's really, you can't picture anybody else as Indiana Jones.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Can I picture somebody else as Neo?
Yes.
Yes. Lots of people.
Yes.
So.
All right, wow, that was a... Okay.
That went on. That moved on to a Keanu Reeves slamathon.
Wow. Okay. So that was a scanner darkly.
That was not a good slamathon.
Who cares? What's he gonna do?
No. I mean, like, never mind.
All right. Night Watch was another one he mentioned. I have no idea what this is about. So I can't really comment.
Okay. And Seven Swords.
And Seven Swords. Also, something I have no idea what it's about. I'm assuming it's a martial arts movie.
We're such good podcasters. We do all of our research.
I'd heard the other ones, and these, I don't know, they just, maybe I've succumbed to the media machine, and since the media hasn't said anything about these two things, that I didn't pay attention.
Are there big explosions in it? Is there lots of special effects?
I think there's death.
Oh, that's sort of it. I don't know.
So I'll look up Night Watch and Seven Swords.
We'll
just
see
to
if there's
check.
Any boobies in them.
So really, to be perfectly honest, the only one in that list, sorry, Derek, was Inside Man.
Right.
That one I think is going to actually be a very good movie.
Right. And I think the thing for me as well is that you know, we alluded to it a little bit earlier, is that we may not be the best to review, especially me, the best to review movies, because it takes a lot for me to get motivated to go to the theater.
Right.
With,
I love going
with
to the
sort of as busy as my schedule is nowadays, actually spending the money and going to the theater and all that jazz it takes a Chronicles of Narnia for me to actually get motivated to go to the theater.
Right.
I don't think I'd go to the theater
for any
of these.
Well, you know, Dan, if you gave up that cock-sucking fetish and went to the movies.
Dude, I like sucking cock. Stop bitching at me about it.
Okay, so, and as a last little note here, Derek also posted his little insight on why this particular time of year is such a piece of trash at the theater.
Yes.
Why all the crap goes in there. So I'm gonna gloss through this real
quick.
This time of year is known as the dumping ground. All studios make distribution commitments, and I can't.
And I'm fucking scrolling.
Dan's scrolling around while I'm reading.
Read it.
Thanks, dude. Teleprompter. Let's see. So they basically give financial commitments to these movies when they're not really sure what it's going to be like,
well,
which is stupid.
I think the synopsis is that if you want to read the details, check the show notes. But essentially, I didn't realize this, but it's cyclical.
It is cyclical.
There is a time of the year where the movies are just not that good, right. And it happens every time.
Around this time of year.
It happens, yeah, every year around this time.
So this is the shit time, January through March.
Which becomes
Christmas's award winners, apparently.
I see.
Fall's a gray area that he claims turns into a good ground for cool movies.
I see. Serenity, History of Violence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I haven't seen yet, but I'd like to.
I haven't, yeah.
Have you even heard of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of those borderline
Viggo
ones.
Mortensen, whatever the
Keith and the girl said they really liked it.
Anyhow, so he's basically saying that cyclically we're in the year of, or the cyclical time of shit.
We're in the year, shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough of that.
Fear of Girls.
Fear of Girls.
Yes.
One of probably the most,
again, a girl topic.
Hysterical
Very
movie
funny.
Shorts. This is about two guys who are D&D fanatics.
Yes.
And by fanatical, I mean they go above and beyond fanatical.
They're D&D elite.
Yes. They're D&D elite. If you know what a geek is, watch this movie and you will be crying.
Yeah,
it's funny.
A good short. It's really funny.
And I believe that's on Google Video?
Videos.google.com.
Okay. And Dan's going to do a review of
Twin Warriors! Yes. I believe someone wrote in and said that they like the movie reviews and stuff, but like the older style kung fu movies and like martial art movies in general.
Right.
And wondered if we had any recommendations for kung fu movies.
Okay.
And one of my favorites is Jet Li's Twin Warriors. And it's sort of a Shaolin monk story. So it's
old
school.
You killed my master!
Yeah. It's old school, you know? It's where essentially these two guys grow up in Shaolin together, and they leave Shaolin, and one becomes...
Is this the one where they go up on the mountain, tend the sheep, and then... No, different movie, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Then they leave Shaolin, and they are chased by the Egyptians, and... No.
And they part the Red Sea.
And they part the Red Sea.
And Charlton Heston's there, and everybody.
But it's a great movie. It's a really, it's one of those classics. So I'll be mentioning, because I've got a few more that I've got.
We'll have to
mind.
Review The Laughing Hyena.
I like The Laughing That's Hyena, and I like Iron Monkey, and there's a couple others. So.
Wow. You're right, Dan. You're a horrible movie reviewer.
Yeah, whatever. It's good. Go see it.
All right, it's a good. Twin Warriors. Clerks 2.
Yeah, I wish I had actually researched this a little bit more. Because it's about Clerks, the second movie in the Clerks genre. It's a big, long interview with... It's a big, long article
Smith.
About Kevin Smith.
I'm sad to report I never watched the original Clerks.
You fucking didn't... What?
Yeah.
You've never seen the original Clerks?
No.
Dude.
You know what? There's always been something else. There's always been something else.
That movie is how people learn to write dialogue. That movie is all about dialogue. It's a great... You got to watch Clerks.
All right, I'll watch it.
You know,
the only reason I haven't watched Clerks is because my idea of dialogue is not, fuck you, I want to fuck her in the ass, dude, fuck off, fuck.
Because yeah.
That's everything that they ever write and do in their Jay and Silent Bob movies. Fuck. Well, fuck is a funny word. Pick a new one.
Well, two things to keep in mind. One, Jay and Silent Bob were not the main characters in Clerks. And I think Kevin Smith and Tarantino does it too. is they have a tendency to use swear words a lot. They overuse the swear words because it becomes ridiculous. And that's what especially Jay and Silent Bob are, is they're ridiculous characters. Yes,
but it gets annoying. Okay. I can't stand it. I need to have a movie that's a little bit more...
Well,
for me, when I want you to be ridiculous, I want you to be ridiculous with the action. I mean, talking ridiculous is just ridiculous.
I think you're ridiculous. but I think one of the most classic pieces of dialogue from Clerks is where the main character is talking to his girlfriend, and they're talking about other people that they've been with, right?
Okay.
And they're exchanging numbers, like he's been with, I don't know, 15 or something, and she's been with 7.
Right.
And he says, well, how many guys have you blown? And she's like, I don't know, 40 or 50. And he's just like, what? 40 or 50? Blah, blah, blah. And he's, and I think what it's a very interesting insight into the nature of man in saying, This thing has actually not changed your relationship at all.
Right.
Why would it matter? But it does.
It does. Yep.
You know, and it just drives you crazy.
Yeah.
And they have a great scene in Clerks where the two characters are driving somewhere together, and one says something about, have you ever tried to suck your own dick? And the other guy, and the guy talking, he's like, well, I've tried to suck my dick. I mean, I almost got there once, blah, blah, blah. And the guy in the passenger seat goes, well, yeah, I did try once. And the guy driving goes, fag! Yeah. So, that was more about Clerks than it was about Clerks 2, wasn't it?
All right. Well, Clerks 2 is going to be somewhat like Clerks.
Yes.
Only part 2.
They'll have 4 Clerks now.
Clerks squared.
That's right.
Okay.
So, anyway.
What's...
Essentially, he said that he wants to show it at Sundance, which means that it would be the first sequel ever shown at Sundance.
Really?
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
Yeah. Because essentially, if you don't make it with your first one, you don't make it at all.
Right.
And if you make it with your first one, you're on to other shit.
Firefox ad contest. Movie making. We're on a movie making.
Movie making.
Firefox is holding an ad contest.
Yes.
A 30-second ad about Firefox.
I think we need to do something.
I think we do, too.
And I think it's coming up soon, though.
It is.
It's on the 14th or something like that.
Yeah.
So if
we'll probably never actually do it because we just won't have time. However,
but we did do it for the Cadillac one, although that was just 5 seconds.
5 seconds. 30 seconds.
That was a lot easier. 30 seconds is...
I'd like to do it, though.
We actually have to think of something to do.
Right.
That's the tough part. I mean, our two guys' movies are only
2 or 3
minutes long.
We should just film the Firefox browser. That's it. Just doing nothing.
Just doing
stuff. Just
sitting
there for 30 seconds. Blank screen. Just Firefox logo in the corner. Okay. So, anyway, that was just a little thing for people who are interested in making
yes.
movies. Look at the Firefox ad contest.
If you have any ideas for 30-second movies,
yeah,
send it to us. We might do it.
Not likely, but...
Right. Not likely, but
what he
we
said.
Might. It'll be fun to share, nonetheless.
We talked earlier about...
We'll have our own little Firefox ad contest.
Oh, there we go.
So send in your ideas.
Wait, we should have a Podzor ad contest.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
It can be an audio or a video ad.
And the winner... will get 20 points.
20? You hear that, people? 20 points for the best Podzor ad. It can
yes.
be an audio ad or a video ad.
So if you have something about Podzor or Firefox, send it in and we'll read it aloud.
Awesome. Blue screen mics and his lighting tips, which we talked
yep,
about
we
earlier.
We talked about earlier, so reference the last show's notes.
Right.
If you want to see those, because they're
notes.
Last show's notes, baby.
We good with movie stuff?
Yeah, we can put a link back to
okay.
it from here.
RPG stuff, again,
this
Mike had mentioned the steampunk examples.
Yeah, steampunk.
The 3.5 D&D game rule FAQ has been updated.
You know what? Remember at the beginning of the show when I said that Microsoft is great and I was essentially...
generating conflict so
yes.
people would make comments?
I forgot one more.
What was that?
The 3.0 rules... ruined D&D.
If I knew you weren't fucking around, you'd get negative XP right now. 10d6 lightning bolt, which I'll reflect off a mirror back on you for an additional 10d6.
2.0 AD&D. That's the way to go.
Oh, lick it. No way. Okay. The just real quick, the fact update contained mostly information about Eberron and Warforged characters. Warforged are living constructs with a bunch of cool
like abilities. Cadaver collectors.
No, yes, they're a construct of right. The type construct.
Yes, they're generally resistant to magic.
Generally, they're resistant to everything except for like magic for the most part. They're resistant to fatigue, exhaustion, yada yada.
Yeah.
Downside is they only get half of any healing or curative magic.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
So,
because they're not really alive.
Right. They're only partially alive.
That's right.
He's only slightly dead.
And that's they. So you should not check their pockets for change.
Right, because they don't have pockets.
Because they're only slightly dead.
Right.
Okay.
Shut up.
Watch the movie again.
Did you put this on here? You must have.
Cause
they came out with the colossal
Stitchy Boy
Red Dragon.
Me.
This is
a mini.
It's not a
it's
mini.
It's a D&D mini, isn't it?
This is a
It's a D&D mini.
It's the sculpture for the new D&D mini. Okay.
Yeah, and it's a
collectible
D&D. It's a $75 mini.
See, this is a collectible D&D figure.
Oh.
It's not a mini. It's like a commemorative. Anyhow,
and I put the stats on here because a colossal red dragon.
Where the hell is colossal even?
It'd be a great worm. Because due to the size,
you're right. Yep.
You'd have
colossal.
Well, that's what Jeff said anyway.
Well, let's talk about this.
A great worm. Yeah,
660 hit points, 45 strength.
Its hit dice are 40d12 plus 400.
Insane.
Its strength is 45.
Their breath weapon does 24d10 fire damage.
And of course, their D. Oh, their.
The DC their, to save, to do the reflex save for half damage?
What's
40.
What's the DC on the creature?
There isn't a DC on a creature. You mean the CR value?
The CR value.
Right here.
A great worm, 41 plus.
No, that's the CR ratings. Challenge rating for a great worm is 26.
26.
So, a party of four,
26
level characters, this would be an encounter for one of them would be an equivalent encounter.
Yes.
So that's epic level.
Yes.
And those are epic level characters.
Yes. Wow. So I wonder how many 18th level characters it would take. Quite a few.
Well, how many could he wipe out in one fall swoop of his breath weapon?
Yeah, most of them, yeah. If not all of them.
That's a lot of damage.
That's ridiculous.
Gah.
Colossal red dragons suck. Their breath weapons are awesome. They're bred for their magic.
You guys are idiots. Okay,
moving on to video,
now
game,
on to video
stuff.
Game stuff. Blizzard's World of Warcraft and the GLBT community.
What is this all about?
The gay, lesbian, bisexual, and trans...
The Gilbit?
Transsexual community.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Exactly. They had a guild,
yes.
And they basically said their thing was, we are friendly to GLBT.
Right.
Well, Blizzard immediately said that violates their terms of service.
You cannot
promote... anything that basically has to do with religion, race, sex, any of that kind of stuff, you're not allowed to make mention of it. And their argument in this one was, because the lady was like,
I can kind of see it.
Right, but the lady on this one was like, look, I mean, she was saying, we're not being met, we're saying that we're accepting of these people. And Blizzard said, well, basically what you're doing is opening yourselves up to be targets, to ridicule and to harass.
Well, not only that, but what if I started a group saying... by the way, we are very accepting of members of the Aryan race in the KKK.
Right.
And I can understand why Blizzard would not want to... First of all, they don't want to draw the line about what's wrong and what's right.
Right.
And secondly, they don't want to advocate that kind of behavior.
Right.
They don't want their community or their servers to be a meeting place for the bad groups. So unfortunately... They can't really let you have the good groups either.
Right.
I think what would be interesting, though, is that what constitutes that then? Because I belong to a group called Geezer Gamers, which is gamers over 30.
Right, but that you can't. But their basic thing is you can't discriminate by religion, sexual orientation, or political
affiliation.
Anyway, if you want to say yes, we're all old people,
that's not
a big deal, because I mean, as we all know, you can discriminate by age. Everybody does.
Right.
Can't drink till you're 21. Can't drive till you're
16.
What
they should do is they should just make up a code and say, we like purple-haired people.
And that would be fine.
And so just the community will have the understanding that purple-haired people are really gay, lesbian, bi, and transsexual.
Yeah, but then once you've established that, now the inference is there, and you still cross the line.
Yeah.
Their point is
it's interesting, though.
Not only do they not want people to congregate like that and do all these crazy things, like you said, the bad groups, but they also don't want, because people like that are targets for ridicule. What happens when you run around and you see that, you know, I'm Klan GLBT? Now all of a sudden you got some guy running around yelling, fags in the zone, everybody jump on the fags. You know what I mean?
And it's harassment. I think, in my personal opinion, if I were Blizzard, that's their problem. If they want to join the GLBT group.
But they don't want to have to deal with all the harassment that will come with that. Because what happens
when Blizzard?
Yeah. What happens when you get a flood of complaints saying this jackass is running around, you know, tossing out racial slurs and yada 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 yada, because it's a family game. And now Blizzard has to track this guy down, prove he did something
but
wrong.
People can do that without motive. I've seen it before.
Right,
people
and they get busted.
Yelling about, does anybody know where this thing is? I need
this
object.
That's fine. But it's different when somebody's running around throwing around racial slurs and calling people, you know, I mean, using all these non-PC terms.
I think.
And directly attacking people.
I think that it's what it comes down to is the reason that it's an interesting topic is because essentially, Blizzard has a community to manage.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So they have to sort of make laws and regulations and, you know, does Blizzard have a Bill of Rights for the World of Warcraft?
Right. And they do. It's the EULA.
Right.
End User License Agreement. Yeah,
yep.
The EULA.
The EULA.
And you're exactly right. It's very interesting that you have purely fictional online virtual community, but you need these rules to govern what the people can and can't do.
So you have to ask yourself what, for example, the U.S. government could never say, well, you can't form a group called the GLBT. People will be running around calling you fags all the time.
Right.
What?
Yep.
That's up to them. They can form the group or not.
Right. And you can say whatever you want about them,
and you can say whatever you want about them. So I think that it would be interesting owning a company having to make those kinds of decisions. Do we want it to be an open and free society?
Right.
Or do we want it to be a restrictive society so that the majority will have a better user experience?
I know. Yeah. It's a tough call.
It's the
biggest problem I think they have is that in a game like this, okay, in the real world, if someone is in your face pushing you and shoving you and giving racial slurs, you can kill them. In a world like World of Warcraft, they can run around and spread the stuff. There's no way for the players to really police themselves. There's no way for you to do this. There's no way for you to do that.
Right.
The ability of the players to congregate and force people that are like that, you know what I mean? Nah, you know what? I'm gonna take that back. That's not true. Because if you find somebody who does that, everyone stops grouping with them, trading with them, buying anything from them, allowing them in any dungeon. They just never group with them. You spread the word. Right. I guess it's just like normal society.
Yep.
So I think the big thing for them, though, is they try to play this as a family game. People play with their kids.
Well, they
at the same time, turn the channel or change servers
and,
or turn on your squelch command. Ignore. DDO.
Oh.
Screw the DDO, guys. They're changing my lingo.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think that it's the bottom line is that it's not a government.
Right.
It's a company.
Right.
And so
their rules.
Can do whatever they want. And I know that they have I believe that Blizzard employs several economists as well.
Really?
To help them manage the economy of WoW. I'm almost positive that EverQuest does that.
And they should. mean, but they've got a real economy,
and they have a real economy, and they have to manage it. They have to help
manage
it.
They have to manage the wealth and resources of 5 million plus people.
Right. And that's no, you can't just set up, you can't have some dumbass programmer go, oh, I don't know, they find a bunch of gold over here.
Right.
Well, you got to have an understanding that if one guy finds 100,000 gold at 40th level, that will get disseminated to all the other people.
Yeah, you ruin your economy.
You
it's
ruin
just
your
like
economy.
Real economy. It is. Yep. I mean, what happens when you flood the market with U.S. money?
It becomes useless.
U.S. money becomes useless.
And that's what happened to what was the one game? I can't remember, but essentially what happened is that
Ultima.
Maybe it's Ultima. Diablo. It's Diablo.
Oh, yeah, Diablo.
They have these like little gems or something.
Right.
Or it was a magical item. And essentially,
socketed item. No, Diablo 2. That was
it was a socketed item.
Okay.
And essentially, the only thing that you could do was trade stuff for these items because these items were the most valuable thing in the game.
Right.
And unless you had 500,000 gold...
No one cared. Because they're like, I don't need your money. I've already got everything I could ever want.
Right. So
yeah, so that's a really interesting thing there. Yeah. What happens when money... I mean, what happens when... What's the point? I've already got everything I could ever want. Your money is useless to me. You got to give me something else.
So I would be interested if Blizzard hired some sociologists.
They should. I think that'd be
is
good.
Is that what it's called? Sociologists?
Anthropologists.
Anthropologists. That's probably a better one.
The study of
people
other
and
people, civilizations. All right, enough of that. Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson, the original founders of D&D, the D&D game, are providing voiceovers in DDO.
Really?
Yes.
That's kind of fun. It's like seeing Stan Lee in X-Men.
Yeah, right. And what happens is the very first time they turned on the DM voices, best thing ever. You walk into a dungeon and this really cool voice
really?
Comes on. You see such and such ahead, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and he
still talks. Oh, that's pretty cool.
And you're like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And it sounded like a professional voiceover. It's very, very classy. We go into the one dungeon, the first time ever, where you get to hear Gary Gygax.
No way.
And he talks, and I kid you not, his voice is hysterical.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah?
It sounds like you're sitting at a table with a geek friend, and he's the DM.
Well, the ultimate. Who is the ultimate DM? Gary Gygax.
Yeah.
You know?
And it sounds really cheesy, and compared to the actual professional voiceover, and
right?
Like it sounds like shit. But then you think about it.
That's what a GM sounds
like. It's like sitting at the table,
yeah,
and some guy's going,
"Awesome."
Yeah. An elf with gray eyes stands before you. That's me, right? But I have blue eyes. No, you don't.
Are there girls in here?
Let me see that sheet. Where are the Cheetos?
Yeah. Oh, if nobody's seen it, do a videos.google.com search for Summoner and Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
There's a very funny Summoner movie out there, but good stuff. Well, that's awesome. That's very cool. A tribute.
Yeah. So I think it's cool.
Yeah. I've never heard of the Arneson guy.
Yeah, Dave Anderson and Gary Gygax are the two guys who...
Bad. That's a negative 5 points for me.
Yep.
So, okay, we're done with the show.
Wow.
Appreciate all your comments from the last one.
Sorry that we took so long arguing in that one section. This thing could have been 30 minutes shorter.
Oh my God, 31 minutes?
Yeah.
These are getting longer instead of getting shorter.
Well, we're playing catch-up.
Yeah.
Because we really had almost a two-week span between this one and the last one, because we did the beginning of the 1 week and the end of this
That's
week.
That's right.
So
anyway, I'm exhausted with the outros. I think I'm going to skip my outro today. Oh! My name is Sterling, and I'm a manhole inspector.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'm Dan, and I'm the tool they use to inspect those manholes.
Well, at least you can inspect the deep ones.
All right. That's it. We're out, y'all. Damn it! The stop button, not the pause button.
Not the pause button. Stop.